This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Getting the sulfur out of gas.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. And Wall Street will be closed for business today because of Good Friday. But in Washington, there's a big announcement expected from the Environmental Protection Agency. It's a proposal to reduce the sulfur in gasoline by 2/3 in an effort to cut air pollution. Here's Julie Neiman, analyst with Smith Moore & Company.
Bottom line is it is a major pollutant. It's something that can be easily extracted from the fuel. But, of course, it's going to increase cost any way you look at it. So when you increase the cost, it means new equipment, upgrading of the refineries, and, of course, this will all be passed through to the consumer.
Opponents of the move say that cost increase could be as much as 9 cents a gallon. Environmentalists say it would be more like 1 cent a gallon. Well, when it is completed later this year, the new World Trade Center in Lower Manhattan will be the tallest building in the U.S., 1,776 feet to be exact. But an energy company wants to go even taller with a structure in Arizona. It's not an office building, but a giant tower aimed at producing clean energy. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler has more.
The tower would be hollow, like a silo. Water sprayed at the top would get humid and heavy in the desert air. That should create winds up to 50 miles an hour that flow down through turbines on the ground. Ron Pickett is the CEO of the Solar Wind Energy Tower.
Here we have a renewable energy, which is hot air and water, that makes energy at competitive price to traditional power plants.
And it's better for the environment.
We're zero emissions into the atmosphere.
The tower would cost about $1 billion. Other wind-powered projects have already attracted funding.
The U.S. industry just came off its strongest year ever, increasing by 28%.
Peter Kelly is spokesman for the American Wind Energy Association. He says wind energy will lower the country's carbon footprint this year by almost 2%.
It is a triumph of American ingenuity and technology.
Over the past 6 years, the industry has attracted an average of $18 billion per year in private money. Kelly says that's twice the size of the proposed investment in the Keystone Pipeline. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Well, as I said, Wall Street is closed for Good Friday. Same deal in Europe. Stocks were up 0.5% in Japan and South Korea today. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 52 points to close at 14,578. That is another record high.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to FreakonomicsRadio.com.
There is an article in New York Magazine that's been getting a lot of buzz this week. It's about Matt Lauer, the co-host of the Today Show on NBC, and the recent turmoil at that show. It lost its long-held number one position in the ratings amid a high-profile and unsuccessful tryout of Ann Curry as co-host. Joe Hagan wrote the story for New York Magazine, and he joins me now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, first of all, set the scene for us about how important these morning shows are for the networks in terms of revenue.
Well, they're like the bedrock of the network. I mean, they're the highest cash-generating programs on the network. All day long, twice that at The Tonight Show. So it's like at its peak, The Today Show was like $500 million a year, which is a huge amount of money.
Yeah.
And it's because they have this very rich target audience of 4 to 5 million viewers, mostly women. 70% is a number that you hear, and in that sort of target demographic of, you know, young mothers, basically, in their 20s and 30s.
And they're not losing audience in the same way that the evening newscasts are.
No, no. They, in fact, I think overall they've gone up in the last year or so. So Good Morning America obviously has benefited mostly from that because they're now number one.
So as your story has been out there this week, there have been questions about Matt Lauer's future, about whether potentially Anderson Cooper from CNN would come to the Today Show and replace him. What's going to happen?
Well, it behooves them to begin to think about who would be next because they don't know how long he will be there. I mean, he's got a 2-year window in his contract. If he decides to leave or if he's no longer happy, they would have to find somebody also. So in either scenario, they need to be looking, and they are.
So when I look at this, and I am a morning broadcaster myself, there are the little things you could point to that, you know, this person leaving or that person coming in or whatever things happened at these shows that made one go up in the ratings and the other go down. But in the end, it seems like a huge part of this is just likability and the chemistry that the hosts have with each other.
Right. That's what's amazing about this as a business. It's kind of based on things that you can't totally control. I mean, chemistry, as one of the producers told me, you can't create it. You can only create opportunities for it and then have talent who can generate it. And, you know, you often hear, well, the people on ABC's Good Morning America look like they genuinely like each other.
Yeah.
It seems like they're having fun. And on the Today Show, there's a kind of like uncomfortable awkwardness, something that seems vaguely funereal about the scenario.
Or at least there has been since, I guess, Katie Couric left and maybe to some extent Meredith Vieira.
Right. Well, since Meredith Vieira left is for sure.
Did you learn anything about what creates that chemistry that you say is so hard to come up with?
Well, you can't really create it. I think it's about talent scouting and finding people who can do a very interesting combination of things, both be journalists and seem to have the ability to interview people in a serious way, but then swiftly pivot into completely ridiculous happy talk and be able to toss a salad live on camera. And that is turns out to be a remarkable talent. You know, one producer told me that Matt Lauer is the Johnny Carson of morning TV, right? I mean, he doesn't really strike you immediately as a guy who with a big, wild personality, you know, whose talent is popping off the TV screen. But he does have one, and it's so subtle that, you know, you don't even notice it, which is actually the talent.
Joe Hagan, contributing editor with New York Magazine, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And finally, if minty fresh is not what you're looking for in a mouthwash, here's an idea. Bacon. Procter & Gamble has just introduced Scope Bacon, which they say tastes like bacon while still killing 99% of all bad breath germs. Just somebody please stop them before they come out with garlic bread flavored Scope. I don't think that would work. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. On APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.